All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Doe and 5-0 show. We're going to go ahead and hop right into the news today, Joe, where a man chokes his girlfriend after she claimed his fart smelled horrible.
Well, that's justifiable homicide, isn't it?
A Wichita Falls man was arrested Sunday for choking and headbutting his girlfriend after she stated that his fart smelled bad. Christopher Ragsdale is charged with assault, family violence, choking. His bond has not yet been set. On Sunday, just before 2 o'clock, police were called to his home on Cranbrook Lane for a disturbance. When officers arrived, the victim said they were at a friend's house, sitting on the couch. The victim told police that Ragsdale flatulated and that she told him that it smelled bad. Ragsdale then grabbed the victim by the hair and threw her on the ground, according to the police report. Officer said that Ragsdale then sat on her back and wrapped his arm around her neck and choked her. The girlfriend then called her friend and told Christopher to get out before going to get her keys. Once the victim went to the other room, Christopher then yelled at her and headbutted her, according to the police report.
Holy crap!
According to the arrest affidavit, the victim had a red marker around her neck and a red mark on her forehead. Officials say Ragsdale was then arrested and charged with assault and family violence. His bond is set at $10,000.
That man has some more problems besides stinky farts. Holy cow.
Hard to believe that happened outside of Florida, eh?
I kept thinking, Wichita Falls, that's not in Florida.
Out of Flowood, Mississippi, men try to cash in lottery ticket with glued-on winning numbers.
I love that stuff.
Two Mississippi men were arrested after reportedly trying to cash in a fake $100,000 scratch-off ticket. Police in Flowood, Mississippi, were notified by Mississippi Lottery Corporation when two men attempted to turn in the doctored lottery ticket. According to the local news, Otis Latham, age 47, and Russell Sparks, age 48, allegedly...
Well old enough to know better.
Well, they apparently not, because they allegedly altered a ticket by gluing the winning numbers to match a $100,000 prize.
You think they got it like out of a comic book or something? The letters are all different colors.
I'm like, I don't know why, but my brain immediately... Did you ever watch I think it was in the 90s, the movie Bodyguard?
Yes.
You remember when the stalker had like these cut out really jank...
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I was thinking too.
That's what I'm picturing while they're doing it. Both men are charged with conspiracy to commit an uttering counterfeit instrument over $1,000, and Latham was also charged with false ID information.
Can you be charged for just being stupid?
They're being held at the Rankin County Jail with no bond. Attempting to cash a counterfeit lottery ticket is punishable by up to 20 years in prison and a $50,000 fine in the state of Mississippi.
Don't you think the laws are a little weird? There's other things you can do, and you can choke your girlfriend and headbutt her. And you can bond out right away. But 20 years in prison for that, is that what you said? That seems
up to
harsh.
Years. Yeah, that's
especially for something so easy to detect.
Yeah, that's a rough penalty.
You know, what do you think they were thinking when they're putting these together? Oh man, this is going to work for sure. How are you going to spend your $50,000? Oh, now it's going to be in the prison commissary.
Yeah. That's not good. Man burns wife's stuff, turns hose on his mother-in-law, according to police report. Out of Liberty Township, police ordered a 32-year-old man to use a water hose to douse a lawn fire that the man had started with his wife's possessions. That suspect then proceeded to turn the hose on his mother-in-law. The move resulted in Mark Moneypenny, that can't be a real name, Mark Moneypenny, of Liberty Township being taken into jail on misdemeanor counts of battery and criminal recklessness.
Is he smiling?
Yeah, he's pretty happy about it. Police said they were called shortly after 6:30 p.m. Monday to Vail Drive by this Moneypenny's wife, who said that he had a large pile of her possessions on the front lawn. When police arrived, the possessions were on fire with 6-foot-high flames in the air that threatened the neighboring home. Moneypenny was then ordered by police to retrieve a water hose, and when he did, he proceeded to spray the fire, and then he sprayed his mother-in-law in the face with the hose. Moneypenny was taken to jail without incident.
Well, you know, they never give enough. I want to know why he wanted to burn her stuff.
Yeah.
There has to be a... I mean, not that it's a reason enough, but I'm kind of curious.
56-year-old man charged with murder told authorities he accidentally shot his girlfriend after she honked her horn at him.
Well, she honked her horn at him.
Out of Minnesota, 56-year-old man accused of fatally shooting a woman who had honked her horn outside of his house has been charged with second-degree murder. Angelo Borison is accused of shooting Angela Wynn, age 51, outside of her house in the tiny city of Badger last Wednesday morning. Wynn had driven to his house that morning, and the two had planned to set off together to buy gas for his car. But Wynn arrived before Borison was ready to leave, and she honked her horn and yelled at him to hurry up. Two outlets report that then Borison told authorities that he then left his house with a shotgun and fatally wounded her.
Wait, how is this second degree?
He was arrested on scene. He acknowledged the shooting win multiple times, but said he didn't mean for the gun to actually fire.
He went in the house and got a shotgun? I didn't think it would fire.
Well, be that as it may, he was charged with second-degree murder and second-degree assault against Wynn. His bail's been set at $750,000. He's expected to appear in court on March 16th.
And yet he'll probably get less time in jail than those people at the lottery.
Time already served and years probation.
So they were going to have a date to get gas? Is that what you said?
It all went downhill when she honked the horn.
She went there so that they could go get gas together. I don't know. It seems like that was an outing for them, for his car. But what car was she driving?
It didn't say.
There's so much information. It's never given.
Never enough. Out of Erie County, Pennsylvania, people in Pennsylvania are on a bit on their toes. I mean, after police say someone released bed bugs inside a men's dressing room at a local Walmart.
Oh.
It happened last Thursday. Police say a manager at the store found a closed pill bottle with live bugs crawling inside of it. The next day, a lab found the bed bugs crawling inside the men's dressing room.
Oh.
The lab also found a second pill bottle with dead bed bugs in it in another section of the store. The store was blocked off in the area and brought in pest management control for treatment. There's no word on who is responsible for releasing the bed bugs. Pennsylvania State Police is currently investigating the incident.
Wow.
Wow. So one more reason not to go to Walmart. You an Amazon Prime member, Joe?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You know I don't like getting on the computer.
You know what Amazon is.
I do, because I've had everybody I know has ordered stuff for me, but I won't get on there myself.
Because Joe doesn't believe in plastic cards. It's always cash, so. New Jersey family says they received used diapers in a nightmare Amazon delivery. That's right. It's a mystery that has rattled the nasally sales and her family. The Jersey City mom had ordered 2 boxes of diapers from Amazon, as she does every month for her $2.
She got what she ordered.
She purchased the items from the site's Amazon's warehouse section, where open box and return items are sold at a discounted rate. When the package arrived this week, she said nothing could have prepared her for what she found inside. I picked up the diapers, and it was a little bit heavy. I was half asleep, and the lights were off, mom explained. At that point, I turned on the light, and that's when I noticed these diapers are neatly folded, and they are soiled. The shocking discovery prompted the mom to immediately disinfect her nursery, even wiping down her 19-month-old daughter with rubbing alcohol.
That doesn't sound good.
The child, who's a micro preemie, was born 26 weeks premature. That's impressive that the kids even survived. That's really young.
She just killed it with rubbing alcohol. Yeah.
According to sales, the baby was just inches away from what she believed was a health hazard. Speaking to an Amazon customer service representative later that evening didn't exactly put the family at ease. The representative was like, okay, sorry for your inconvenience. We'll give you a refund. You're more than welcome to keep the package. You don't need to return it. Mother was like, okay, thank you. I don't believe you're understanding what I'm telling you. While the family's not officially sent the substance to be tested, they said it bears a strong resemblance to the odor of fecal matter. What they now want to know is an explanation from Amazon about the mishap. According to their website, the company inspects and certifies all open box products before reselling them. Something sales says obviously did not occur in this.
Can you see that? All right, baby. Yeah, I got some new... Oh, look. Soiled diapers.
Yeah. At least it wasn't a can of fish from Sweden.
Oh.
Oregon woman attacks her boyfriend after she said he left her dog out in the rain. At a Myrtle Point, Oregon, Oregon woman... Look at that beautiful mug there.
Is she smiling, too?
That or she got something rammed in unpleasant places. I'm not sure.
An Oregon woman. Looks like she's getting a proctology exam right now.
Unexpectedly. An Oregon woman left her boyfriend bruised and scratched after he allegedly left the dog outside in the rain, according to the sheriff's office. Melissa Morris, age 38, of Myrtle Point, faces a charge of domestic assault for the New Year's Eve incident. Coos County deputies responded to a call around 6:16 p.m. That's awful early for New Year's Eve drama.
Yeah.
Spoke with Morris's boyfriend, James. He told them that she had punched him in the face twice. James had a marble-sized welt and scratch mark on his right eyebrow, according to the press release.
But how did she punch him twice? Because if somebody hits me the first time in the face, I'm covering up. I'm getting in fetal position, but she got him twice.
He must need work on his defensive tactics.
I guess so.
Deputy said Morris admitted to punching him, explaining that she did it because he didn't bring her dog inside out of the rain. Melissa was booked in on fourth-degree domestic assault and charged at the Coos County Jail.
I have a dog. I'd have punched him, too.
Yeah. Here's news for the stupid and the lazy. Pampers now has a new device, Joe, that sends you notification to your smartphone when your kid has a dirty diaper.
You know what? I could tell. I knew.
Most of us could. However, Lumi by Pampers is now a smart sensor that attaches to your infant's diaper and sends you a notification when they go to the bathroom. Pampers showed off the sensor, which also tracks their sleeping habits, at the Consumer Electronics Show last week in Las Vegas.
From the diaper?
Lumi by Pampers is described on the company's website as the world's first all-in-one connected care system that helps parents track day-by-day developments and monitor their babies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so they can see emerging patterns and establish a suitable routine for your child.
Every time I feed the kid, he shits in his pants.
The Lumi system uses an HD night vision camera capable of monitoring temperature and humidity. The baby sensor also has an app to compile the data for the parents.
Wait, there's a camera? I don't want
a camera. Well, not inside. I don't believe it's inside of the diaper. So
that seems like a violation.
If you go to the website, you can kind of see the package here. It's so this little green gadget here goes on the diapers. I guess the camera would be like a crib for the camera, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm trying to see what the price of all of this is. Let's see, shop it. See how much Pampers is going to charge for this. Holy cow! $349 for the starting kit here.
Well, you can keep using that same thing on the diaper.
So it comes with one activity sensor. So I assume the sensor comes off of each diaper and puts on the new one. You get the one video monitor and up to 10 days worth of diapers. 10 days worth of diapers, $350.
Well, maybe the diapers aren't that bad. Maybe it's just that initial cost. But I still don't understand. And then to take it off the dirty diaper and put it on a... Yeah.
I mean, I was changing diapers in my sleep after a couple of weeks, I think.
Well, when you have 11 million children, yeah. It never really stops.
I could probably still do it in my sleep and not think much about it. So, here's a throwback for you, Joe. The news broke just on January 13th. ABC wanted to shrink Robin's penis, according to the Batman star Burt Ward. And they told Batman star Burt Ward to take some pills to make it a little smaller. You remember the old Batman and Robin show?
Of course I do. I can't believe, because they didn't want to bulge there.
Well, times were different back then. Times are different. Batman TV stars Burt Ward was advised to take pills to shrink his phallus. ABC was reportedly nervous about his...
Tell you what, you saw Robin's outfit?
Yeah.
I'd have been jamming socks in there.
ABC was reportedly nervous about the bulge and wanting to do something about it. Robin actor received a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame from Kevin Smith over the weekend, which
really?
Called it an amazing experience. Yeah, really.
I've watched those shows. I'm a little confused, but all right.
Well, when one thinks of the original Batman TV series, bulges weren't exactly the first thing that comes to mind. The campy's 1960s show was more about solving mysteries and showcasing villains every week, while going off to be completely absurd. However, ABC was having trouble with Robin's bulge. They thought that Robin had a very large bulge for television back then. Admitting that Adam West apparently had the opposite problem.
Yeah, they waited until he was dyed to put that story
with
up.
Adam, they put Turkish towels in his undershirts, according to West. They wanted him to take some medications. Long-term, he decided it wasn't good for his health and his future to have children, so he decided not to proceed that any further. He was only on the show for a couple seasons before he was let go. It was role, so...
The whole show got let go after a couple of seasons,
yeah,
didn't it?
It wasn't really.
No, it just gives me a hold. So Robin comes walking into the Batcave and here, bow, 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 bow. Why, Robin?
Yeah. All right, that's all we got for this week in news. Stay tuned for this week in Florida.
In Florida, a tenant has problems. The landlord goes in intending to fix it. When the tenant won't answer the door for the landlord, she walks right in and she's pelted with shit. What the hell is with Florida? Where all crazy shit seems to come from.
Literally.
A week won't pass by without lots of stories proving that Florida's dumb and disgusting.
Disgusting. With ketchup, Pop-Tarts, condiments. We can make a whole other song with that, couldn't we?
All right, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Florida, where the first headline reads, Cops to Florida Woman, Medical Marijuana Card Does Not Cover Your Crack Cocaine. That's right. Medicinal crack. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
An East Florida woman who allegedly had crack cocaine in her car told police she had a prescription for medical marijuana, which is why her car smelled like pot when she was pulled over. She was, however, unable to unexplain why there were 6 crack rocks in a container from a legal pot dispensary under the seat in her automobile. When asked to present her medical marijuana card, the unidentified suspect pointed to cops to a hooded sweatshirt in the vehicle. That's where they reportedly found her crack pipe. The smoker, a 46-year-old woman from
Lake... So she pointed it out for him?
The 46-year-old woman from Lake Park, Florida, was taken to St. Lucie. Oh, there we go. County jail.
St. Lucie.
Located in an hour up the coast. So I guess her medical marijuana card didn't get her out of the crack cocaine charge.
That's weird.
Got another bizarre battery, Joe. I know you're looking forward to it.
What do we got? Pop-Tarts? We got a condiment? What do we got today?
Florida man arrested after allegedly pouring ketchup on a sleeping girlfriend.
I called it.
We've seen ketchup batteries in the past.
Yes, we have.
Florida man was arrested for domestic battery charges on Sunday for allegedly dousing his sleeping girlfriend with a bottle of Heinz 57 because she thought she was having an affair.
Not at that time.
Officers responded to the home in Pinellas Park early Sunday when they found a woman covered in ketchup. The woman's boyfriend, identified in the police report as 37-year-old Peter Wagman, denied the condiment attack despite having ketchup on the right side of his pants. Police said the woman woke up to ketchup being poured on her by the defendant as the defendant was yelling, "That's what you get." Explicitive. Wagman was released from county jail on Monday. He pled not guilty to a misdemeanor domestic battery charge. The judge ordered Wagman to have no contact with the victim. Her identity has not been released.
There's really no way of proving that because he had ketchup on his... It's not like blood. It was ketchup.
He had it on his pants. She had it all over her.
He went over to see what was going on because obviously somebody broke into the house and poured ketchup on her.
He never had any claims of a breaking and entering in his home.
Well, he should have. That's the first thing I would have thought of.
Sticking with condiments in Florida, Florida woman arrested for threatening McDonald's employees over dipping sauce dispute. Florida woman was not loving it, Joe.
they were out of ketchup.
Florida woman was not loving it after she was arrested last week, accused of threatening McDonald's employees when she did not get the dipping sauces she requested with her meal. Maguire Marie McLaughlin, age 19, was charged with 1 count of disorderly conduct and 1 count of resisting arrest when she threatened to rob a McDonald's in Vero Beach early Wednesday. According to the arrest affidavit, River County Sheriff's deputies...
She threatened them that she was going to rob it.
River County Sheriff's deputies went to the fast food chain on 20th Street around 4 a.m. following reports of an irate woman at the drive-thru window. Witnesses told police that the woman, later identified as McLaughlin, ordered a large amount of food and requested 1 flavor of every dipping sauce after she had already paid. Employees told McLaughlin that the restaurant charges 25 cents per dipping sauce. McLaughlin then began swearing at the employees and threatened to get the sauce by whatever means necessary. However, she could not specify what she meant by that. Police interviewed McLaughlin on scene and described her as having glossy eyes and slurred speech with breath that smelled of alcohol. While attempting to arrest her, McLaughlin began to resist, but was eventually restrained and taken to the Indian River County Jail for processing.
What is it with these people?
Florida. Florida police were called for a woman screaming, "Let me out." Come to find out it was a parrot instead.
Oops.
At a Palm Beach, Florida, deputies with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of someone screaming for help at the neighbor's home on December 29th. After showing up to the Lake Worth Beach home, deputies soon discovered that the supposed victim was actually a parrot named Rambo. The homeowner was changing the brakes on his car, according to NBC News, the NBC News affiliate, when deputies arrived and notified him that his neighbor had called to report that there was a woman screaming inside asking for help. The owner then introduced Rambo to the officers. "I was changing the brakes on my wife's car and had my 40-year-old parrot," man, 40 years old, "Rambo," on his outside perch where he sings and talks. Sometime later, the four police officers showed up saying a neighbor called because they heard a woman screaming for help. I then promptly introduced the officers to Rambo, and we all had a good laugh. He added, afterward, "I also introduced Rambo to the neighbor who called in the screaming complaint. Luckily, his neighbor also had a good laugh about the entire situation. Sometimes Rambo yells out, 'Help, help, let me out,'" explained the man.
Just copying the woman that he has in the trunk.
Something I taught him when I was a kid, and Rambo lived in a cage for 40 years. So.
As he's screaming that, I said, "Look, he's a ventriloquist." But that song's coming from over there. Yeah. He's good.
Don't mind that banging in my trunk. Florida woman arrested for throwing bucket of poop on her landlord. Out of Austin, Florida, a Florida woman is facing battery charge after police say she threw a bucket of human feces in her landlord's face. WESH News reports the victim, 65-year-old woman, told police that she had planned to make some repairs to her tenant, Joanne Mercedes, home. When she knocked on the door, no one answered, so the landlord went in. The victim told police when she opened the door, Mercedes threw a bucket of poop on her. Mercedes told police that
Where'd she get this?
She told police that she meant to throw a bucket of water on the landlord, but she got the two buckets confused.
A lot of people get those confused.
Mercedes has been charged with felony battery on a person 65 years or older. She's booked into jail and released the next day. She's expected to appear on court on January 29th.
So why did she have a bucket of water and a bucket of poop by the door?
Maybe she got a slumlord that doesn't keep the plumbing going properly.
Oh, so she just keeps it there for... Yeah, but if she was using the water, let's say, to flush the toilet, why wouldn't the poop be in the toilet? I want to know why she had a bucket of poop there.
I've been in residences where people use buckets as opposed to functioning toilets.
Really? I have not. I like my sheltered life. I like my bubble. Lee tells me about stuff that has happened, and they don't happen in my world. they don't.
That's all we got for the disgustingness of Florida. Stay tuned for this week in Political Garbage. All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Political Garbage. Joe, we're going to start this week out of Vermont, where a new bill would ban cell phone use for anyone under the age of 21.
Oh, good. You know, this stuff... Well, go ahead, and then I'll tell you my bitch.
A bill in Vermont would ban the use of cell phone for anyone who is under the age of 21. The bill, according to KXAS News, was introduced by a Democratic state senator this week. If passed, the bill would make the possession of a cell phone for anyone under the specified age punishable by up to 1 year in prison and or a $1,000 fine. In light of the dangerous and life-threatening consequences of cell phone use by young people, it is clear that persons under the age of 21 years of age are not developmentally mature enough to safely possess them. Just as the General Assembly has concluded that persons under the age of 21 years are not mature enough to possess firearms, smoke cigarettes, or consume alcohol. Although Senator John Rogers proposed the bill, he doesn't expect it to pass, and that it was merely introduced as a conversation starter.
Okay, so he obviously needs a job. But how can you say that the world's a little bass backwards? Okay, so you're 18, you can go fight for your country, you can go over to the Middle East and you can get shot at for your country, but you can't smoke a cigarette, you can't drink a beer, you can't use a cell phone because that's dangerous when you're using it. Now, I think they should be off social media till they're 30, yeah. But as far as, I've talked to my daughter, April, okay, and this is when they had was a T9, when you had to press a button so many mm-hmm. times to get... And I've been like this with her, and she's looking at me, texting yeah. her friends. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Then there's me. And if you start talking to me, I don't know what you're saying. So that's stupid. Those people are more apt with those phones than we are. But all these things, all of a sudden, you can't be... I don't think you should be able to join the service then until you're 21.
Well, the... yeah... I mean, that's what he's concerned about, that particular senator.
But he doesn't think it's going to go anywhere. He just did it as a conversation piece.
Because he doesn't have anything more important to worry
There's
about.
There's nothing more important to do in
Good
Vermont.
Good luck on taking phones away from the teenagers.
Isn't that in Vermont, too?
Sticking with Vermont, Vermont bill would legalize adult prostitution across the state.
Okay, but they can be 18.
Among the more than 100 bills under consideration by Vermont lawmakers this season, there's a measure to legalize prostitution. The bill, which is co-sponsored by four women lawmakers, would repeal laws that ban prostitution consenting adults, but it would keep the state and federal laws against human trafficking. Bill H-569 is pending in the House Judiciary Committee. If enacted, it'll take effect on July 1st, 2020.
Honestly, prostitution is legal. Already. They just call it a different name. If you go out, take them to dinner, you're paying for everything... Pay for the gas, you buy them clothes, you buy them gifts, you take them to a movie. It's the same thing, isn't it?
You're referring to marriage. Call Joe. You're the one that needs the sign.
Bad sign. So that's an interesting... the morals in this country are not rising.
Out of Virginia, bill seeks to ban indoor shooting ranges.
What state is that that wants to take guns away from everybody?
Any and all states that are covered by the Democratic Party wants to take guns away.
But there's something that they're talking about forming a militia someplace because of
A militia with what?
All the Republicans.
Oh, I thought you said the Democrats were.
No. They don't want the militia. I thought it was Vermont, but I might be wrong. But there's a state that is right now trying to take guns away from everybody.
Surprise, surprise, a Democratic state delegate has introduced legislation banning indoor shooting ranges that would shut down even the popular range at the local NRA Virginia headquarters and cancel for concealed carry holders from other states. Virginia House Bill 567 was introduced by Democratic state delegate Dan Helmer on January 6th, and it would ban indoor shooting ranges in buildings with more than 50 employees. This plan would affect the NRA, so we think it will save lives. Helmer pointed to a number of workplace mass shootings, including someone in a Virginia Beach municipal building in May of 2019. This bill would make sure that we don't have people bringing in large quantities of firearms and ammunition into office buildings. This bill would likely impact the NRA's indoor range. The legislation would not shut down all indoor ranges, just the vast majority of them. HB 567 would allow indoor shooting ranges to exist in buildings owned or leased by the state of Virginia or the federal government. So this goes on for a little bit, but basically they just want the government to be in control of these shooting ranges. They can't have any privately owned businesses.
Where they know everybody that's going in there and who has what. And
so more Big Brother control.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
All three of these stories that we've talked on have been bills proposed by the Democrats. That's right. The Democrats. Last thing for political garbage, Joe. This is more of just kind of, I think you might have sent me this story.
I think I did. That Blazing Saddles, what a great movie.
One of the greatest recognized.
That could never, ever, ever be shown today.
Blazing Saddles, age 45 now, Joe. The movie that could not get made today. Celebrating a birthday, 45 years ago, Blazing Saddles hit theaters. Fast-paced direction is a masterpiece of comedy detail filled with delightful and perfectly timed sight gags.
You know, that's very... It's a large compliment for the juvenile humor that it actually was.
So for our younger followers, I'm guessing that you probably have no clue whatsoever what.
But if you'd love to be offended all to hell, you got to watch this.
I actually watched this movie in one of my high school classes. One of the teachers put this in one day sometimes teachers just they don't want to teach or whatever. So that was a movie we watched in high school. I remember it.
Wow.
Hollywood Reporter celebrated the occasion by republishing its original review of Blazing Saddles. Here was the excerpt from the review. The screenplay by actor-director Mel Brooks, Norman Steinberg, Andrew Bergen, Richard Pryor, and Alan Ugger, from a story written by Bergman, is a totally irreverent, never passing up a chance to point up a cliche and sparing no one along the way. The language is definitely R-rated, but it never becomes offensive.
Not then.
In fact, the pairing of the language and the characters accounts for a great deal of boisterous humor. Brooks' fast-paced direction is a masterpiece of comedy detail, filled with delightful and perfectly timed sight gags. The predominant style is one of extremely broad burlesque, but the film is also packed with more subtle touches, especially in Maury Hoffman's clever set decoration and in Peter Woolley's production design. The line about sparing nothing or no one along the way is key. Blazing Saddles seems to send up almost everything, and it does so brilliantly. The humor employed is filled with what today would be known as triggers for the emotionally weak human beings, also known as politically correct social justice warrior crowd. Ethnic jokes abound. There is enough juvenile sexual humor to keep 1,000 generations pubescent boys entertained. The movie also has the most memorable fart joke scene ever filmed on screen. All throughout, what we know would be taboo humor is used to lampoon racism, politicians, entertainers, and too many more things to remember offhand. It is done in a brilliant fashion, but only if one is from an era when the majority of the population wasn't perpetually seeking to be offended by something.
It does seem like they're looking for it.
There probably isn't a scene in Blazing Saddle that wouldn't grievously offend the modern snowflake. This will tell you this because...
He's reading this.
Yeah. The social justice warriors will tell you that because they've evolved and that they would be wrong. When everything is offensive, nothing is offensive. Do you guys understand what that means? Probably not.
No, our crowd is actually older. The people watching us, they understand. Kids grew up with stuff like that, so they certainly understand.
It has a double meaning that applies to both sides here. It's difficult to take the present-day social justice warrior seriously when they complain about, everything. What Brooks and the company did back then was to make sure they offended everyone, which is what made it funny.
Did.
It's also almost sickening to think of the fact that we've gone from a society capable of creating and supporting something as masterful as Blazing Saddles to one that's filled with humorless youth who would protest it to death before it could get released just 45 years later. A humorless society that seeks to make words criminally offensive is a society that is in a severe decline. Hopefully we're just in a phase that we will soon emerge from.
Oh, I hope so.
Should we get that lucky, hopefully we'll see comedies one day that will once again
be funny.
Be funny.
Yes.
So honestly, probably to me, the closest I think that we've probably seen, and we're talking probably 20 years now, even at that, I'm thinking back to like the 90s, as if they're yesterday, but probably the most crude comedian that I can think of that was making those types of movies would have been probably Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
He, and even a stand-up was kind of crude.
Yeah. Yeah, he walked the line quite a bit.
And Adam's still around, but he doesn't make the same types of movies now that he did in the 90s and maybe even early 2000s. And even Saturday Night Live back then had some edgy characters with Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Chris Farley. My God, Chris Farley was hilarious.
In a van!
Down by the river! Matt Foley. But this, I mean, this piece is correct to me. It's, if you've never seen Blazing Saddles, pull the cork out of your butt. Don't be offended by it, and just watch it for what it is, and just good old-fashioned humor where everybody's a moving target.
And it's not sophisticated humor. Please don't think that. No, it's just stupid humor. Sometimes they do something, and it might take you 10 minutes, and you go, oh shit, did you see what he did back then? That was funny. You just don't catch it right away. But a lot of the movies back then, just different. That was probably more intelligent than, like, Caddyshack. Caddyshack makes me laugh just because it was the most ridiculous movie I've ever seen. Animal House is another one.
Yeah.
That was just so stupid. But they offended everybody.
I mean, you know, when I think about Mel Brooks, I think about Blazing Saddles. Did you ever see I think it was in the 80s, Spaceballs. Did you ever see that one?
I didn't.
It's a parody of Star Wars.
Okay.
Another completely ridiculous movie. But I've seen it a million times, like Blazing Saddles. And it would offend the shit out of people today if they watched it.
Yep.
Did he do Princess Bride? I think he did Princess Bride too. You remember that with Andre the Giant? It's the Robin Hood parody.
But that's funny.
Another one that would offend the crap out of people. Mel Brooks would offend the crap out of everybody.
He's still around, isn't he?
I believe so.
I thought he was. He said something about political correctness has killed comedy.
Yeah, it has. So that's all we got for this week in political garbage. That is a pretty good news piece. For those of you that are not familiar with Blazing Saddles, do yourself a favor. Pour yourself a cold one and give it a watch.
And if you are offended very easily, tape yourself while you're watching it so we can see it and laugh at you.
We will make fun of you on next week's show.
Yes, we will.
All right, that's all we got for this week's show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.